You're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee here in the liberal land of long beards, lattes, and lutefisk. And now here are your hosts for today, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson.
AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Hunter Hawes and Eric Nelson here with you today for your Miracle Lays with the Muchachos. Me and Eric are here with you. Eric, actually, I believe this is the last Wednesday.
Oh, really?
I think we go back to Thursday next week. So,
and, you know, no one's asked us why it's not Con Los Muchachos.
Con Los Muchachos.
Why you just chose two specific words?
Yeah, well, that's a bit of that Spanglish.
Okay.
It's intentional.
It was intentional.
I can do Miracoles con los Muchachos. But no, it's Miracoles with the Muchachos. Miracoles means Wednesdays. Muchachos means the fellas. And we've been doing Wednesdays the past 6 weeks, but we will be returning to Thursday, our home, next week. So get your fix of the fellas on a Thursday next week on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. But today, we got a good show for you. We'll be speaking with Michael Dow of the Steve Rumler Hope Network at 4:30 to talk about the opioid stewardship bill, which is currently in conference committee and negotiating the differences between the Senate version of the bill and the House version to hopefully get this signed before session ends in 5 days. We only have 5 days left of the state legislature this year. And there's a lot that still needs to get done. Also, we'll be continuing to talk about the Georgia and Alabama abortion laws and the implications of what this could mean in overturning Roe v. Wade. And the other, we'll get to that in a bit. But the Eric, are you aware that there's another news and talk radio station here in the Twin Cities?
Yeah, you're talking about the Patriot?
Not the Patriot. This one, what they do is they like to hand out tote bags for membership. And they have these pledge drives.
Oh, yeah, that's the Leb Talk station, right?
Yeah, with what's that dude's name? I can't remember. The host on 45. He's got a show.
Bernie Bumble.
Bernie Bumble. We'll go with that. That sounds great. But no, this is a public radio station. And what they do is kind of quarterly, they hit up their listeners for money. They guilt you into subscribing to public radio. But you know what's great about AM 950 is that not only do we have just one station, one owner, and no higher-ups at all.
Yeah, big boss Chad, man.
Chad is the boss baby here, and we're completely funded through local advertisers. So this other station that I'm mentioning, they're a public radio station, but they're a huge conglomerate, and how they survive is guilting people into pledging money. They interrupt their programs to sell their tote bag for only $300 a year.
I heard they ripped off our initials too.
I know. I might have to look into that, but very suspicious there. But yeah. AM 950, we're not part of the corporate media, the public media, or the mainstream media. We are an independent radio station, and if you want to support us, all you have to do is go shop at one of our advertisers and tell them you're an AM 950 listener, and you can find yourself something a whole lot better than a tote bag, too. I mean, if you want to see the full list of advertisers, go to am950radio.com/advertisers. But we got places like Electric Fetus, Northern Sun, Ho-Chunk Gaming, the casino, Vinaigrette, Nokomis Cycle. I'm a big fan of cycling. Now that's warm, I plan on doing some marathons. But so many great options, and we are funded from local businesses rather than this pledge model or being a part of Clear Channel corporate media where I'd have to be told what was appropriate to say or not on air.
Yeah, I'm sure you've seen that clip of it's not radio, it's television, but I'm sure same
yes,
sort of thing
exactly.
works on radio
mm-hmm.
where everyone gets a script to read.
That is so eerie. There was like 50 people all saying the same thing at the same time. Mm-hmm. But yeah, that's, I mean, because whoever owns those TV stations owns most of the radio stations too. There's only six companies that control the vast majority of radio and TV and just media, newspapers included. It's a very small pool of companies that own all the news media. But play the clip from when Chapo Trap House was in town. They gave us a little shout out at their live show.
Chapo Trap House.
Virgil, you had a couple shout outs you wanted to do?
Yeah, super quick. Right before our first show, me, Matt, and Felix went on AM 950 KTNF Minnesota with Hunter Hawes, and that ruled. That's the only radio station in the country not owned by Clear Channel. And we had a great time, so I recommend checking that out.
You're listening to Hunter Hawes
on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
And see, we can still do those sweet radio drops without being a part of Clear Channel.
Is that Jesse Ventura?
Could be. Could be. But yes, shop local, support local media. United we bargain, divided we beg. That old union catchphrase? Well, divided is the begging of the tote bags. But here, Eric, this is kind of big news for us. Minneapolis is considering a ban on new drive-through windows for businesses. So a complete ban of drive-throughs.
I kind of support that within the confines of the city. Have you ever tried to go through a drive-through in like the downtown or even the areas around it?
Ooh,
it's a nightmare.
Like, so you support a ban on all future drive-through businesses of any sort?
Within the confines of the city? Yeah.
Well, the entire Minneapolis city?
The entire Minneapolis, no, definitely downtown.
So you don't like downtown drive-throughs is what
no,
you're saying?
No, because I mean, they used to live off of Franklin and there's mm-hmm. Wendy's, and it causes so much traffic every single day, all hours of the day.
Well, here is an article from City Pages. Imagine the city 20, 40 years down the line and envision its brand new banks, coffee shops, hamburger joints, and ask yourself, do you see any drive-through windows? That's the question the city is asking itself now. On Thursday, the Minneapolis Planning Commission will entertain an all-out ban on new drive-throughs throughout the city. Now, there are plenty of people who love drive-thrus, and it's easy to see why. They're quick, convenient, don't require leaving your car. That's the part I like. I like staying in the car.
See, that's what I would like to change. I'd like to encourage people to get out of the car.
I'd
like to see a city designed more around pedestrians.
I would rather see cities designed in different ways, but I believe that we're in too deep now that I don't know if this is going to shift like the cultural landscape of a city by banning these. But let's continue. If you're a parent wrangling young children or you're disabled, you might consider them something of a miracle. But love them or not, there are plenty of cases against them. At their best, they mean more paved surfaces slick with polluted runoff, more curb cuts where pedestrians will have to dodge traffic, and the occasional flanix of queuing cars blocking the sidewalk. And then there's din of engines that spew empty Taco Bell cups and Whopper wrappers neighbors often deal with. At their worst, they can be destructive.
The engines don't spew it. The cup. Ugh.
Well, this is the writer's.
I know. I'm criticizing the writer.
Colorful language. But at their worst, they can be destructive, even dangerous. As evidence, one need only remember the countless headaches and near misses caused by the Starbucks drive-thru on Snelling and Marshall Avenue in St. Paul, all of which earned the bedeviled spot its own hashtag, Carbucks, its own designated traffic cop. But the city council president, Lisa Bender, is championing this ordinance. Didn't respond for an interview request, but told The Wedge Live that community opposition to new drive-thrus in several locations is important, and I back this. The biggest issue is they effectively encourage people to drive, and that's the opposite of what the city planners want for Minneapolis. When they envision the city's future, they see a lot more pedestrians and a lot fewer cars. They see unobstructed sidewalks, less traffic, and more room for housing and offices in place of parking lots. So this is very interesting. I haven't heard of another major city doing something similar, banning all drive-thrus from future planning. So that is quite the proposal.
Yeah, I have no idea. I don't really follow the city politics.
I just have never heard of this pop up anywhere.
I mean, it makes sense. They do cause a tremendous amount of traffic. But it ruins the flow of the city.
Are you saying traffic because people are...
People are coming in and out of a parking lot constantly when that drive-thru exists.
But drive-thrus are nice in Minnesota winters.
Yeah, I'm not saying that drive-thrus should not exist. I'm saying within the confines of the city, I don't think they're appropriate.
And then I wonder how they will handle, like, if you sell a building that currently has a drive-thru, can the new business use that drive-thru?
Yeah, I don't know. Or can, like, drive-thru banks function like that?
Yeah,
you know, drive-thru ATMs?
It's a ban on all future drive-thrus, and it listed banks. ATM is a good clarification, though. I'm not sure if that would be different. But, yeah, Minneapolis considering a ban on all new drive-thrus. What do you guys think of this? Give us a call at 952-946-6205. This is a very interesting proposal of banning all future drive-thru windows for new businesses in town. It's being heard by the Planning Commission of Minneapolis, and the Planning Commission then would make recommendations to the City Council to enact this. But let's go to Reverend Jack, who wants to talk about this drive-thru situation. Reverend, it's good to have you.
Hey, yeah, thanks for having me. So, yeah, I mean, when you first said it, I was like, I didn't like it because I don't like the, you know, I kind of like the idea of not too many rules and regulations. I mean, you know, but as I thought about it, the one thing that I'm concerned about would be like people that are handicapped, people that are older, that have a real hard time moving around, you know, it would restrict a lot of their access to stuff. And like, same with like they have drive through pharmacies and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's also nice because I think it's safer. Like at night, they can close the McDonald's and just have the drive through open late, you know?
Yeah.
And I think it's, you know, less. But on the other hand, I think, well, like up in Grand Marais, they have a rule about how, you know, like what type of signs you can have on your buildings. You know, you can't have certain neons and they can only be so tall and things like that. And I think that, you know, it keeps things, you know, I don't know, it keeps it nicer, you know? And I guess if you start letting people run away with whatever they want to when it comes to capitalism, it can get crazy. But the other thought, I'm trying to get this out quick because I know you don't have a lot of time here, but because I wonder when you talk about envisioning the future, you know, it's hard to say what things are going to be like. I mean, stuff is being delivered now more. There's talking about drones and self-driving cars and, you know, stuff like that. Maybe if we can get some more good public transportation, you know, light rail, stuff like that, it's really good. Maybe we wouldn't, you know, have as many cars on the road. So I don't know. It's interesting. I don't really have a yay or nay, but those are my thoughts, and I appreciate you listening.
Yeah, appreciate the call, Reverend Jack. And those are some good points. And now I'm thinking back to when I lived in New York City. There's very few drive-thrus in New York City, and it's just how the function of the layout works is that there's a lot of pedestrian traffic. And in my opinion, it's a superior layout to our kind of sprawl of the Twin Cities. But again, the main reason that she is looking into this is the biggest issue is they encourage people to drive. And that's the opposite of what city planners want for Minneapolis. They envision the city's future with more pedestrians and fewer cars. Unobstructed sidewalks, less traffic, and more room for housing and offices in place of parking lots. So let's take a break, and we'll be right back on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Hey, I'm Lori Fitz from Connections Radio Show, and I want you to join us for Repartee on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
Sitka Salmon Shares was created 7 years ago for the Midwesterner wanting better seafood. Here's how it works. First, visit SITKASalmonShares.com and enroll in a membership fit for you. 100% satisfaction guarantee. Then our fishermen in Southeast Alaska catch your share, fillet, and blast freeze with care and send them to your front door, all with delicious recipes. It's that simple. Enroll now at SitkaSalmonShares.com and use code AM950 for $25 off.
Hi, this is Ken Hagland, host of Living Healthy and Aging Well, inviting you to listen to our new show airing on Saturdays from noon to one, where we talk about your health and your life and provide insights to living and aging well. Each week, we provide answers to important questions regarding health care, elder care, end-of-life care, and caregiver support to help you and your loved ones plan for the future and enjoy your highest quality of life today. Please join us every Saturday from noon to one for Living Healthy and Aging Well.
Genocide, lost language, rape, isolation, forced assimilation, colonization, assault, disease and torture, school, lost sexual family, abuse, relocation, lost customs, allotments, hate, reservation. Fear.
History has taken its toll on our families. Our fathers and grandfathers, our mothers, our grandmothers, they didn't deserve to be raped and abused. I don't deserve to be raped and abused. Today I walk with pride. I'm reclaiming my body, my heritage, and traditional customs that value all living things. I'm learning healthy boundaries, and I stand with Minnesota Indian women to end sexual violence. Sponsored by the Minnesota Indian Women's Sexual Assault Coalition.
Get out of the cold at Burger Moe's. Burger Monday Madness happens every Monday after 4 p.m., except on Excel event evenings, where you can order any burger with fries on the menu for just $6. Burger Moe's always offers fresh, never-frozen burger varieties, as well as delicious appetizers, soups, salads, and unburgers, dogs, paninis, shakes, desserts, two daily happy hours, and 60 beers on tap. Located at 242 West 7th Street in St. Paul with plenty of free parking and online at burgermoes.com.
Time is running out in the legislative session, and Minnesotans have made it clear that we want a path to 100% clean energy. A path to 100% clean energy will help our communities prosper with increased jobs and access to clean air and water. There is no time to waste. Act today by asking your state legislator to support a path to 100% clean energy. Text Clean Energy First to 52886, paid for by Conservation Minnesota Voter Center.
Tap, taste, and treasure at Vinaigrette, where we have some warm seasonal recipes all ready to create dynamite meals. Our fig balsamic vinegar pairs perfectly with roasted Brussels sprouts or baked brie. And sweet potatoes are always a winner, but never more than when they're roasted with a drizzle of vinaigrette cinnamon or orange-fused extra virgin olive oil on top. Come in today for more custom-crafted food and cocktail recipes at Vinaigrette, 50th and Xerxes in Minneapolis, and 287 Water Street in downtown Excelsior. Online at vinaigrettemn.com.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman of The David Pakman Show, where we stand up to the Hatriots every weeknight at 8. And you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950.
AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota. Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here with you today for your Miracles con los Muchachos.
There you go.
There you go. We're taking calls at 952-946-6205. And in the next segment, we'll be speaking with Michael Dowd, the Steve Rumler Hope Network, to talk about this opioid stewardship bill, which is currently in conference committee, and trying to get that signed into law before session ends in 5 days. Next Tuesday is the last day of session here in Minnesota. But Eric, are you familiar with John Delaney? He's running for president.
John Delaney.
This guy, he's bald.
I saw something
he's
about him, yeah.
Maryland House member. Or like
all I've seen was that like the Gravel Teens roasted him on Twitter.
Yeah,
that's my familiarity with him.
They were totally in the right doing that. So John Delaney was sharply critical of some of the major proposals being debated on the campaign trail, including the Green New Deal, Medicare for All. During a radio interview where he labeled these policies as half-baked socialist policies. I'm just going to point out their policies are bad policies, the former Maryland congressman said in an interview with conservative radio host Hugh Hewitt. Medicare for All, in the terms of the bill that's been introduced in the Senate, is fundamentally bad health care policy. Putting aside, we have no way of paying for it. Even if we were able to pay for it, it still would be bad policy. Now, John Delaney, why would you go on Hugh Hewitt to run for president on the Democratic Party? Hugh Hewitt is he's basically Dennis Prager, Sean Hannity, Rush Limbaugh, that mold, but very similar to Dennis Prager. But going on right-wing talk radio and then hating on some of the most popular policies in the country, like Medicare for All, a ton of support for that. That is popular with all segments of the population. Some conservatives are even for it, but John Delaney's strategy is go on right-wing radio and hate on these policies. So I'm not a big fan of Mr. Delaney.
Sure. Does he think that that's a winning strategy?
I have.
To target the moderate Republicans?
Yeah, I have
shown
no.
That their numbers are in like the 0.5%.
Like, who are you going to get? Those people are not going to vote in a Democratic primary. I don't understand that strategy at all. Well, something me and Eric do on our other show, Mission Accomplishers, Saturdays at 7 p.m. here on AM 950, is if you leave us feedback on Apple Podcasts, we read it on the air. So just go to Apple Podcasts, type in Mission Accomplishers, and write us a little message, and we'll read it this weekend.
Yeah, get weird with it.
Mm-hmm, get crazy. We like it. Also, pick up a copy of Natural Awakenings magazine. This month, you'll find an article about the show, and it's right at the beginning of the magazine on page 7. But Mission Accomplishers in Natural Awakenings magazine this month. Now, the big news is the country's most restrictive abortion bill made its way to the governor's desk in Alabama after passing the state Senate on Tuesday. Now, the Alabama House bill would make abortion and attempted abortion felony offenses, except when the mother's life is at serious risk. The bill contains no exceptions for incest or rape. It passed the Republican-controlled Senate in a 25-7 vote with 3 absentees. Now,
maybe you can answer this for me. I've looked, haven't really been able to find an answer.
Mm-hmm.
But is there any mention of if the fetus is non-viable?
Not that I've seen, because all these take place within 6 weeks, so it's hard to know that much in that short of time. So, yes, what Alabama is doing, along with Georgia and a couple other of these deep red states, is making abortion virtually illegal. Like
before most people realize that they are pregnant.
Yeah, 6 weeks is the cutoff time, and that it's very common to not even be aware that you are pregnant at that time, but I want to play a clip from this state Senate hearing in Alabama. So Democrats introduced an amendment to allow rape and incest victims to receive abortions, but the motion failed. So play the clip.
All those in favor say aye.
No,
any opposed? Motion passes. Committee amendment is tabled.
Senator
Chambliss.
There was no motion. There was no motion.
There was a motion. He made a motion.
He didn't even make a motion, Mr. President.
Hold on. Excuse me.
He did not make a motion.
He made a motion to table.
He did not make a motion. There was no motion from the other side.
He made a motion to table. Senator.
Heck no. He didn't even make a motion.
So that actually was the bill itself. They rushed it out there like that. I had said that it was a Democrats' amendment that failed. That actually wasn't that clip, but very tense, as you can see. And
this sound riled up.
Yeah,
sounds like the House of Commons.
But man, this is very like scary and real that. This is going to pose a sincere threat to Roe v. Wade, because multiple states have done this. The Supreme Court has gained two conservative justices from Donald Trump and
Mitch McConnell blocking Obama's choice.
Yeah. I mean, this is like going to be one of those severe consequences of losing these elections, like the Al Gore election and Donald Trump becoming president. The court is concerning, and it's like, what do you do? I mean, people propose just filling the court, like packing more justices in once you get a Democratic president, and that is kind of the only viable solution to take care of where this court is trending.
Yeah, I mean, that's the one and only strategy that really exists.
Historically, that hasn't worked out well. Like FDR tried to do it when he was in the middle of his New Deal reforms, and he was an extremely popular president at the time. But that was kind of what marked the downfall of FDR being able to get legislation through, was failing to pack the courts.
Yeah, I mean, there's no mechanism by which a president can remove Supreme Court justices.
No, yeah, they're
there for life.
So, I mean, it's just a bit scary with what the states are doing with the intention of it being challenged at the Supreme Court. There's a real possibility that Roe versus Wade would be overturned. I don't know, man. It's just, I kind of see it as a possibility, like a real possibility. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know. I guess it is. It just almost doesn't seem real, though. You know what I mean? It's beyond kind of my comprehension at this point to think that something so fundamental about this country that's existed since I have been alive could be removed.
Yeah, and it's withstood some tests over the years. But it's kind of looking like a perfect storm, which is very concerning. But all the reason that voting and elections matter. Before we take a break, I just want to read this. This is from just an online forum and someone posting his opinion. But it goes, let's be realistic here. Think of these things if you live in a swing state and might not vote for Biden in a Trump-Biden election. Ruth Bader Ginsburg will almost certainly die very, very soon. She's a stick with lung cancer and almost no remaining life. Trump will nominate someone even worse than Kavanaugh because he won't need to worry about re-election. This person will likely be younger and more insane, and we will have them for 40 years or more. Imagine a version of Kavanaugh, but a person's entire family all live to be 110, and they think that women who have abortions should be drawn and quartered. They will dig this person up. And then Biden will likely do the very Democratic thing and nominate some 60-year-old neoliberal corporate bootlicker to the court, an experienced judge with constitutional awareness. But he goes on to say, tell me where I'm wrong here. If your vote actually counts, hey, Midwest, please don't mess around with this vote. Some people actually are affected by SCOTUS decisions, unlike the predominantly cis male and white membership here. But I just thought that was a insightful post for people who are on the left wing of the Democratic Party, like myself, that it's still incredibly important because of the Supreme Court that whoever the nominee is, you have to support, because these things are just so important, and the population's affected by the Supreme Court. And it's not something to mess around with. It's not something to play the accelerationist game and see where Trump will take the country.
I mean, technically that's the perfect place to play the accelerationist game, but it's a scary game.
Yeah. Yeah. You could say it that way. But when we return, we'll be speaking with Michael Dow of the Steve Rumler Hope Network about the opioid stewardship bill in the Minnesota Legislature. So we'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hello, humans. This is Ellie Krug from Ellie 2.0 Radio, and you are listening to Minnesota Progressive Repartee on AM 950.
The number one source of the Twin Cities gay scene is All Digital. Follow Twin Cities Gay Scene on Facebook and Twitter. Sign up for the Scene Shot email blast for weekly updates and chances to win great prizes. No app is needed to view the bi-weekly web editions of Scene. It's GLBTQ media for the mobile generation. Find it all at TwinCitiesGayScene.com. That's TwinCitiesGayScene.com.
This is Paul Metzer telling you about a great event called Boom Boom Outgoes Childhood Cancer Number 9, a benefit for St. Jude's Children's Hospital Research Center in Memphis, Tennessee. It's happening at Grumpy's Northeast Saturday, June 8th, 2019, 1 to 8 p.m. $10 at the door. Features great musicians like Alicia Corbett, Tiny Darling, Porcupine, and Tom Nichols. Grumpy's is located at the corner of 22nd Avenue and 4th Street. The coolest club in town for a great event. Make it on down.
Tom Hartman here telling you that solar energy isn't just for environmentalists. Switching to all energy solar is actually perfect for reducing your carbon footprint while also saving money on your monthly electric bill. The fact that solar panels cause no earth-harming emissions while it's producing energy is a bonus. Who in the world could object to that? But they can also help you save money month after month for decades. And they do it with a clean footprint. So go green and start saving money today by visiting allenergysolar.com.
Hey, it's Brett from the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. You've heard Hunter tell you how much he trusts Zero Res to clean his carpets. Well, now it's my turn. What I love is that Zero Res cleans carpets without those smelly, harsh chemicals. Plus, when I have friends over to Repartee, I don't have to cover that old carpet stain with a floor lamp. And right now, you can get three-room Zero Resified starting at $149. But you have to mention AM950. So call 952-ZERO-RES, mention AM950, and get that carpet cleaning off your to-do list. Believe me, you'll feel better.
This is Gregory Rich, founder of Habitation Furnishing and Design. I have a philosophy. Furniture should be beautiful, but if it's not comfortable, it's not much use to anyone. That's why at Habitation, we work hard to make sure that the furniture we sell is stylish and functional. Unique and useful. What more can you ask for? Habitation Furnishing and Design, 4317 Excelsior Boulevard in St. Louis Park. It's the Twin Cities' best furniture and design showroom.
Hello, fellow AM950 listeners. This is Jaja from Nightingale at 26 in Lindale. Come experience our delicious signature dishes and exciting rotation of inventive seasonal fare for my wife and chef, Carrie, and her team. Nightingale is the perfect place to gather for any occasion with our extensive wine, beer, and cocktail selection, along with our dedication to great service. We offer a full menu every day from 4 to 1 a.m., two award-winning daily happy hours, and weekend brunch at 10. More at nightingalempls.com.
Hey Minnesota, it's Brad Friedman, your friendly investigative blogger, journalist, troublemaker, muckraker, and all-around swell fellow from the Bradcast. Heard every weeknight at 7 p.m. We'll be here soon, but don't worry, you're in good hands. Listening to Hunter and Eric on the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
AM 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota, Hunter Haas and Eric Nelson here with your Miracles Con Los Muchachos. So we only have 5 days left in session here in Minnesota, and many bills are in crunch time to get through during these last few hours, really, of session. And unfortunately, the opioid stewardship bill is in danger of not getting signed into law this year, even though it passed both houses with very overwhelming bipartisan support. So there are two versions of the bill right now being negotiated into a compromise singular version. And joining us to give the latest details on the bill is Michael Daub. Michael, it's good to have you.
It's good to be here.
So let's start things off. I've talked about this bill quite a bit over the past few months, but let's break down the fundamentals of the bill, what the foundation of both versions, the House and Senate, and what does the bill contain?
The legislation establishes $20 million in new fees, in new funding, raised primarily from opioid manufacturers and distributors, depending upon the version of the bill. The Senate bill also raises fees from other medical distributors and manufacturers, because some of them pay annual license fees as little as $235. And the Senate version of the bill reflects that it was time to increase some of those fees.
So then what have been your observations at these conference committees? Like, what's holding the bill up right now, and what are the most contentious differences?
The biggest difference between the House and the Senate versions is something called a sunset. The House bill does not include a sunset. A sunset is a provision in a piece of legislation that puts an end to something, just like the term describes. And the Senate bill states that if opioid manufacturers were to pay $20 million based upon having settled their lawsuit in which they're defendants and being sued by the state of Minnesota because of the opioid epidemic and the things that they did to cause the epidemic, that the increased licensing fees to pay a good portion of those $20 million would go away. The House bill does not have that version. The Senate bill does have that version. And that's troubling because this is sorely needed legislation. Additional funding is needed. And the epidemic is not going to go away that quickly. It's been 25 years or more in the making, and it's going to take a considerable amount of time to arrest.
Now, are there any scheduled upcoming conference committee hearings?
No. The conference committee met for the first time in early April, and they reached compromise on some less controversial issues. Then they waited a month before meeting again. They met again a little over a week ago, and they didn't get very far. They met again last Friday, in which the House and Senate exchanged offers of settlement focused on, among other things, the sunset. They need to meet again at least one more time in order to conclude a settlement, to be in a position to get bills to both the House and the Senate to vote on before the end of the session on Monday.
And how are you feeling right now about this and its chances of getting through?
Well, you know, it's scary because we were confident that when the session began that the legislature would finally adopt a bill that responds to the opioid epidemic. This is the third year that we've tried to get a bill through. The plan in the beginning, back in January, was to impose this fee on the makers and the distributors of the opioid products, create a new pool of money to pay for treatment, prevention, and dealing with all of the aspects of the opioid epidemic. We were told that it was a priority for the DFL. We were told that it was a priority for the Republicans. And it was described as one of those bills that the legislature wanted to tackle early in the session and that they were going to get done. Well, here we are 5 days before the end of the legislative session, and that simply hasn't happened. So we're concerned.
Absolutely. Now, what do you think there are Republicans that are intentionally trying to stall this? I mean, last year, Kurt Dowd never even brought the similar version of the bill during last year's session to the House floor and just tabled it, so it never even received a floor vote. Do you think there's something like that going on right now?
I don't think so. I don't think it rises to that level at this time. I was involved in the legislative efforts in 2017 and 2018. And in 2017 and 2018, politics in the House kept the bill from succeeding. The bill, a different version of the bill, one similar or more similar to the House version, passed the Senate last year. So a bill did get through the Senate with broad bipartisan support,
mm-hmm.
but it really never saw the light of day in the House. Now, I'm sure people understand that as a result of the 2018 election, the House control changed from the Republicans to the Democrats, and that changed how things were going to work in the House. As a result, the bill moved through fairly quickly in the House and passed overwhelmingly, 94 to 34, with quite a few Republicans joining with the DFLers supporting the House version of the bill.
So what can we do in these last few days of session? How can we take action to help get this bill to the finish line?
To get the bill to the finish line, the public would be best served by contacting their legislators. Call your legislator. Email your legislator. Tell them that they need to take action on the opioid stewardship bill. They need to do it quickly. It's fairly easy to go on to the Minnesota Legislative Branch website and work your way to a place where you can identify who your legislator is and learn both their office phone number and their email address.
Fantastic. And so you're a board member for the Steve Rumler Hope Network, which has probably been the most important organization involved with this bill and the human lobby supporting it. Can you explain what the Steve Rumler Hope Network is and how people could get involved or find out more?
Yes, the Steve Rumler Hope Network was formed in 2011 in the aftermath of the overdose death of Steve Rumler. The Steve Rumler Hope Network has three pertinent objectives. We're involved in overdose prevention. We distribute naloxone, the opioid antidote, throughout the state of Minnesota in all sorts of places to all sorts of people, to all sorts of organizations, including governmental organizations. We have an advocacy group. We spend time at the legislature. We've had representatives at every single hearing at the legislature this year, and I would estimate that that number's between 15 and 20 different hearings. There's times where we've had 50 or 100 people show up at a time at a hearing. We're also involved in prescriber education. There's a group of doctors that are part of our medical advisory board and medical advisory team, and they are in the process of educating the doctors throughout the state of Minnesota and elsewhere about prescribing practices in light of the opioid epidemic.
Fantastic. So you can visit steverumlerhopenetwork.org to find out more about the organization. And I suggest people follow your Facebook page as well, because the Steve Rumler Hope Network always has when these conference committees take place. You guys are like the breaking news on that. I always see your posts for when committees are going to take place. But before we go, what are your thoughts? Like, is this going to get done? Are we going to see a conference committee this week? Just what's your speculation right now?
It's hard to say. Given the schedule of the legislature and the schedule of some of the conference committee members, they're tied up. Senator Rosen, we can see from media reports, is spending a great deal of time working with the governor on a variety of other legislation, the tax bill, the education bill, and a variety of other spending bills. We picked up the paper this morning, and we could see that there were meetings with the governor until 2:30 in the morning and reconvening at 10 o'clock in the morning. Senator Rosen is involved in those. So as long as she's involved in those committee hearings, or I should say in those meetings with the governor and other lead legislators, it seems to me that it's going to be pretty tough for her to devote attention to our bill. It's unfortunate that our bill has been caught up in the busyness and the conflict that's up at the legislature at this time. We think that there's a likelihood that if a conference committee meeting is scheduled, it could get scheduled early in the morning, it could get scheduled late at night, it could get scheduled on the weekend. We're sure hopeful it gets scheduled, because if it's scheduled at 6 a.m., we'll be there. And if it's scheduled at midnight, we'll be there, because we need a bill, because a bill is going to save lives. And a bill is going to provide relief to the taxpayers, to the state of Minnesota, who are having to pick up the tab for big pharma's mistakes.
Absolutely. Well, Michael, best of luck on all your endeavors, and thank you for all that you do and for providing us with this update. So it's great to see you. Hopefully I'll see you down at the Capitol when Tim Walz signs this bill into law.
Yes, we'll have a big party.
Yeah. All right, we'll be right back on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hi, Minnesota. This is David Pakman of The David Pakman Show, where we stand up to the Hatriots every weeknight at 8. And you're listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee with Doug, Brett, and Hunter on AM 950.
On Tuesday, May 21st at 7:30 p.m., Temple Israel in Minneapolis invites you to join them for Voices 2019, their premier annual event. This year's voices will be Anna Navarro and Van Jones. Anna Navarro is a well-known Republican strategist, political analyst, and contributor to CNN and ABC's The View. And Van Jones is an activist, author, CNN political contributor, and host of CNN's Van Jones Show. This event will be moderated by Barack Obama-appointed ambassador to Morocco, Sam Kaplan. All are encouraged and welcome to attend this intriguing dialogue. General admission tickets are $50, and doors for general admission open at 7 p.m. Sponsorship opportunities are available for a private reception and dinner with the speakers prior to the program. Purchase a silver sponsorship to savor wine and hors d'oeuvres, or a gold sponsorship to enjoy wine and dinner with Anna and Van. Sponsorships start at just $500. Tuesday, May 21st is approaching quickly, and the event is selling out fast. Call and secure your seats today at 612-374-0342. Visit templeisrael.com/benefit for more information.
Find a wide selection of outdoor hearth products at Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces. Whether you prefer wood or gas, Woodland Stoves has the fire to fit your home. Pizza aficionados know nothing matches masonry oven baking for capturing flavor and nutrition. Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces can easily install one in your home or business. Enthusiasts use these ovens year-round for bread making, wood roasting, even grilling.
The mission and passion of Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces is to make the fire work for you. The way humans relate to fire is primordial. We have used fire to warm our bodies, cook our meals, and kindle our spirits. Our team has the know-how to do this in a clean-burning and environmentally smart way. Visit our store and experience the diversity. We have over 35 working units on display at the corner of Riverside and East Franklin. See us online at woodlandstoves.com. Find the fire that fits and works for you.
Woodland Stoves and Fireplaces, out of the ordinary, products and services since 1977.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the Progressive Voice of Minnesota.
Hey guys, really sorry about that. Eric, it's Hunter, the guy working the boards. You know, the guy who likes like Bernie Sanders and Dirty Little Rat. But I also like the show you're listening to right now, Minnesota Progressive Repartee, right here on AM 950.
Yeah, I don't remember recording that one.
That's pretty embarrassing.
Oh, no, we lost Randy in St. Cloud, who had been waiting patiently on hold. But give us a call back. Our phone number is 952-946-6205. Hunter and Eric with your Miracle A's with the Muchachos.
One point that I like that Michael made was that if you want to see something done, you have to annoy the hell out of your representatives.
Yeah.
Make it your new hobby. Make it your new habit. After you're done brushing your teeth in the morning, Mm-hmm. Send an email to your representatives. Make sure they see it every single day.
It is true that squeaky door gets the grease. I know that last night in Chaska, we had our special election. I brought that up a few months back that we convinced the city council to hold a special election for two vacant seats. And that election took place last night. So that was fantastic. And the reason we got that special election is because we showed up and we bothered the council and the mayor.
Yeah, ultimately they want to get reelected,
mm-hmm.
and they'll do whatever it takes to is if they know there's a lot of people who are definitely going to vote, and they're mm-hmm. going to vote on this one issue.
And like, they're not always used to people showing up, so especially at the city level,
oh, yeah.
like that.
If you could physically show up,
yeah. If you're organizing people to show up together, that makes a huge impact. But down at the Capitol as well, it's just. Being there, being a pest is really how you get things done.
Yeah.
So we got a couple minutes left. Look at this. Mel Gibson to play a Rothschild in an upcoming film about the ultra rich.
Incredible.
Now, yeah, isn't that a bit of a poor casting choice?
Well, I mean, have you seen the movie Dragged Across Concrete?
No.
It's the newest Mel Gibson movie where he plays a racist cop.
Oh, my God. Wow.
So, it's a little bit on the mark.
Yeah. So
it feels like it must be intentional now, too, because two movies in a row.
Yeah. So for those who aren't familiar, the Rothschilds are a Jewish banking family, and there's a lot of conspiracy theories around them, like that they control the world, and a lot of anti-Semitic tropes involving the Rothschild family. But to choose Mel Gibson, of all people, to play a Rothschild is just such an odd move because...
It's actually very woke.
Mel Gibson infamously claimed in a drunken rant that Jews were responsible for all the wars in the world and promoted anti-Semitic stereotypes in his 2004 blockbuster film, The Passion of the Christ.
Honestly, I think the Romans came off looking worse in that movie. Racist against Italians.
But my – so odd. Mel Gibson, of all people.
Does he have some hand in the production of the movie?
No, I don't think so. I think he's just an actor as far as I can tell. Yeah, and Shia LaBeouf will be in the movie as well as a Rothschild. It doesn't say when this is coming out, but very, very, very odd.
Yeah, could be interesting. I am confused by the casting.
Yeah.
But
all right, well, we are out of time. Thanks for tuning in. Hunter Hawes, Eric Nelson, signing off for the Minnesota Progressive Repartee.
You've been listening to the Minnesota Progressive Repartee. This is the end of our program, or the Departee. You can listen to our show anytime at am950radio.com or wherever you get your podcasts.